Okay, Jim, ready? Okay, you can go to Proverbs to start. And last week went through different things of what we are and who we are. And we learned many years ago, probably, we are what God's Word says we are. We are who God says we are, and we have what God says we have, and we will be what God says we will be. And that's a great thing. Today we're going to look at one of the R's. It's not like the three R's of writing, reading, and arithmetic, but it's we are righteous. And I think probably if we all understood how great that really is and what that really means, it would astound us. And we will understand it someday fully, because to be righteous is incredible. So anyway, Proverbs, there's a couple of verses here I wanted to look at to start out. In Proverbs chapter 2. And in verse 6 it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Now in the Old Testament, righteousness doesn't exactly parallel perfectly the righteousness of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, for instance, Abraham, it says that it was accounted to him for righteousness because he believed. So God treated him as though he was righteous, basically. He marked it up that he was righteous, even though he wasn't totally righteous. It talks about Noah being righteous, but it really means that he was upright, that he did the best he could in his actions, in his life, in the way he lived. Okay? But if we were to examine the scriptures, it says you can't become righteous by works. So you couldn't be righteous in the Old Testament by doing good deeds or living a good life. The best you could do is what Abraham got, is to be accounted righteous, or you could be considered upright by God, meaning that you did the best you could in the senses realm. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 33. It says something else here. "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just." And the word just is similar to the word righteous. Actually, in the New Testament, it's usually the same word. It's just used in a little bit different way. So here it says that God blesses the house of the just. You know, so if we walk uprightly before God, he blesses our home. It's a wider meaning, but our lives, basically. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. We'll go to the New Testament. So the Word of God, however, in the New Testament, says of us when we're born again that we are righteous. And we're going to see that in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. And of course, the word "are" comes from what? The verb "to be." You know, whenever you learn a language, one of the main verbs you learn is "to be," right? It's one of the things. Something is, or we are, or that was, all come from the verb "to be." So we are, it says, righteous. Verse 21, "For he hath made him," referring to Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin." And that just refers to simply Jesus Christ making the sacrifice for sin. He was the sin offering for us. In the Old Testament, for them to go before God, for God to accept their prayers and their petitions and to protect them and everything else, they were to go before God periodically and make a sin offering. Unfortunately, that sin offering didn't last, and it didn't cleanse them through and through. It just atoned for the particular sins at that time. It never got rid of sin nature. It never got rid of the old man. So it says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's pretty great. What does that mean? Well, just simply what I explained. Jesus Christ was perfect. He was the Lamb of God, and he became the sacrifice for all sin, for all people, for all time. So he made the perfect sacrifice. And when he made that perfect sacrifice, he cleansed everything. He wiped out everything against us. And we received Holy Spirit. And so we are righteous. We're not accounted as righteous, but we are righteous. Now, what does righteous mean? Well, it means to be right or just. It means to be without sin, without blame. It means we stand before God and there's no marks against us. If God were keeping a scorecard, which he's not, as far as we're concerned. So we're righteous. We have no guilt before God. We have no shame before God. Therefore, we don't have to be concerned or worry or anxious when we go before God, because God has already forgiven us. The only one that needs to be convinced that we're forgiven is us. You know? Because sometimes we think, oh, God could never forgive me for that, or I'm too evil or bad or something to get an answer to prayer. And yet God does that for us. So we are made the righteousness of God. It's pretty great. We didn't earn it. We didn't learn it. It's not a skill. We didn't attain it. When we were born again, when we confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we were made righteous. It's pretty great. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. This could really confuse you if you didn't understand how the Bible works, this section. Because we just saw that we are righteous, right? We're made the righteousness of God. In chapter 3, verse 19, it says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Wow. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The word justified is to be made righteous. Same. They all justified, righteous, righteousness, righteously, all come from the basic same Greek word. Different forms, but the same Greek word. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You know, if you read verse 19 and verse 20, you could say, wow, we're screwed. You know, there's no, but that doesn't refer to us. And you have to read the context and read what says further on. Because by the flesh, no man can become righteous. In the Old Testament, what did they do? It was by the flesh. They kept the law. They did the sacrifices. They paid the prices. They did all the things that the law required of them. They spent one day a week in worship of God, 1 year out of seven, so on and so forth. They did all kinds of things to be right before God. And yet, they could never get rid of their sin nature, and they could never fully take care of their sins. So verse 22, it says, even the righteousness of God, well, verse 21 again, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Pretty amazing. even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith or believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the Jews had the law, and the Gentiles didn't. So the Jews could go before God. They had the word of God. It says the oracles of God were committed to them. They had the temple where God resided. They had the high priest that went in and made the sacrifices. But in reality, they didn't get much closer to God than the Gentiles, who lived and walked in ignorance. And when Jesus Christ came, then all had access to God, those that believed in Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's pretty great. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means that Jesus Christ paid the price. He redeemed us. If you take your clothes to the cleaners, they give you a ticket, right? And then when you get ready to get them, you go back and you present the ticket and you pay the price of the cleaning and you redeem your clothes. Technically, that's what you do. You get them back. You get them back how? Clean. That's how God got us back. Clean. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the cleaners to get us and redeemed us, and we came back clean. Whom God, speaking of Christ Jesus, has set forth to be a propitiation through believing in his blood to declare his righteousness, the righteousness of God, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Forbearance means what?
Tolerance.
Tolerance, yeah, he put up with us. He put up with us and allowed us to continue to live, even though we really didn't deserve it, until Jesus Christ could come and pay the price. And he was the propitiation, the payment, the expiation is the religious or theological term. Expiation, the payment for sin. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is just, and he is the justifier of them that believes. He is righteous, and he makes those righteous who believe. You know, think about it. God is the creator, and he is the great judge. We call judges justices because they mete out justice, what is right before the law. Well, God created the heavens and the earth, and his righteousness, his justness is the standard by which everything else is judged. And he is the justifier of those that believe in Jesus Christ. And so he makes us just. He gives us his righteousness. He makes us righteous. It's pretty great. So we are justified when we believe in Jesus Christ. let's go to chapter 10. And it says that if thou shalt confess, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, so we can go before God and we don't have to have any guilt. And we can go before God and we don't have to be ashamed. Did you ever make a mistake in life and you're ashamed? You're ashamed to tell people. You're ashamed for people to know. Well, before God, we have no shame because he what? Sent his son. He paid the price. So those that believe do not have to be ashamed. They're saved. It's pretty cool. We are righteous in his sight. Okay, let's go to chapter 8. So when do we become righteous? Yeah, the moment we believe. Chapter 8, verse 8, we're going to start. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And then it says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. I don't know how to explain that exactly. There is an explanation of this verse, but to be in the flesh means that we are sense knowledge. You know, we're in the flesh. Man is a man of body and soul until he gets born again and receives spirit. Once we receive spirit, we're no longer in the flesh, but it says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. We have the new birth spirit. We have the totality of the new birth. We have everything that comes with the new birth. And one of the things that comes with the new birth is righteousness. We are justified in God's sight. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He is not of God. He doesn't belong to God. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Now, you know what? God had to make us righteous the minute we were born again. Because if we weren't righteous, he wouldn't put his Holy Spirit within us. We had to be righteous so that we could have Holy Spirit. Now, you know, it all happens immediately as soon as we're born again. But we are righteous, and because we're righteous, we can have Holy Spirit. Therefore, brethren, let's see, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him, God, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're not debtors to the flesh. We don't have to live after the flesh. We don't have to do the works of the law, which is the works of the flesh. We don't have to atone for sins because he already did it for us. We don't have to make up for our shortcomings. Jesus Christ already made up for them because we were made the righteousness of God the moment we got born again. What a great thing. We satisfy the standards of God's righteousness. You know, if you drive a car, you have to satisfy the standards of the law of driving, right? And if you don't satisfy the standards and you happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, then the police catch you, what happens? You get a ticket. And to be justified, you have to go pay the fine. Or in some cases, if you get too many, you lose your license, and to satisfy it, you have to do without driving for a period of time. Those are the standards of the driving laws. The standards of righteousness, whatever they are, God has fulfilled them through his Son, Jesus Christ, which was the shedding or the sacrifice of pure blood. Pure blood he shed. And he died for our sins and he was raised again for our eternal life. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, sometimes people say, well, what would you like? If, you know, you could have anything, what would you like? People will say, $1 million, my health, blah, blah, blah. You ever hear anybody say, I want to be righteous? Yeah, nobody ever says that. Maybe the righteous brothers. They just assumed they were righteous, I guess. Has a different connotation. Chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You know, there is no fellowship. So before we received righteousness, before we received God's Holy Spirit, could we really have any fellowship with God? No, because righteousness doesn't really have any fellowship with unrighteousness. So before we received righteousness and Holy Spirit, we didn't have any real fellowship with God, even if we thought we did. The best we could do is pray and ask God to help us, and then he would send somebody to show us the word or teach us about Jesus Christ or however he did it with each and every one of us. You know, with Paul, he did what? He sent a bright light, and he heard the words of Jesus Christ himself. So, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You know, before we were born again, we were in darkness. God is light. You know, this is speaking of and talking to the Corinthians, and is telling them, hey, you know, you're born again. So what fellowship do you have with unbelievers? You're not to be unequally yoked with them. And what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You know, you're not supposed to, you know, the most we're supposed to do with unbelievers, for the most part, is speak the word to them. I mean, we have to live in the world, and we have to deal with them, but we really don't have fellowship with them. And what communion hath light with darkness? The word communion is just another form of the word fellowship. It's the same word. And what concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial? Belial is an Old Testament term referring to the devil. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? The only thing that we can share with an infidel as far as believing is, I believe in God, you don't believe in God. That's about it. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, could God dwell in an unrighteous body? No. He had to make us righteous so he could dwell in us. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to represent that. They had to represent that in the temple. And what did they do? They had to wash everything. They had to clean everything. They had to observe all these different rules and laws. And when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies before God, he had to wear certain clothes. And those clothes had to be cleansed and cleaned, and he had to be cleansed and made clean, and he had to have been in a certain state for so many days, and he couldn't have been near a dead body. He couldn't have had any sores on his body or any imperfections at that period of time. He couldn't have been near a leper or anything else like that. He had to be totally cleansed in the flesh, and that was just symbolic of what God had in store for us, that we would be cleansed, because we can go before God, the Holy of Holies, anytime we want, can't we? We can speak to God anytime we want. We can pray to God. We go to God in his very presence, and he dwells within us. because we're righteous. And if we weren't righteous, if he hadn't made us righteous, we couldn't do those things, and he couldn't be in us. Amazing. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And of course, that was from the Old Testament, but he's already done it for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And that was a prophecy of what was to come. Pretty great. Let's go to Ephesians. Just imagine, every time you wanted to pray to God and, you know, take care of something, you had to go and wash and make a sacrifice and do all that stuff. Would take a lot of time, a lot of effort. Jesus Christ did all that for us. We don't have to do that. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. This section here is chapter 4, and it talks about how we are to walk with God and walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And so it says we are to put off the old man. The old man is the man of sin, the old man nature, the old man sin nature. We're to put off, just like you take off a dirty shirt or a dirty coat. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man, which is what we are part of, the new man is the man of body, soul, and spirit, members of the body of Christ. The new man is the body of Christ. We're to put that on, and it's created in righteousness and true holiness. So when God says, be holy for I am holy, what do you have to do? You have to put on the new man. It's not just what you do individually, but it's that you put on the new man. You put on the body of Christ in your mind. I'm part of the body of Christ. And we are created in righteousness and true holiness. What a great thing. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And it goes on and on and on and on. We're to do all those things. Let's go back to chapter 1. It says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, or in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How could we be holy and without blame and not be righteous? We are righteous. Why we're holy and without blame, because he made us right. He justified us. He's the great justifier, and he justified us according to his standards, not our standards. Man's standards are so much below God's standards. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, and it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And so as we walk according to the word, then we are filled with the fruits of righteousness. What are the fruits of righteousness? I have no idea. But I'm happy to have them, whatever they are. You know, maybe they have something to do with the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know. Could be. But it is, whenever you produce fruit, it's a good thing, isn't it? It's a positive thing. It's something that is on the positive side. If you have a fruit tree and it doesn't produce fruit, what is it? No good. Jesus Christ saw the fruit tree, the fig tree, and it wasn't going to produce fruit, so what did he say?
He did.
Yeah, cursed it, and it died. Quick. Let's go to James. There's a lot of advantages to being righteous. Chapter 5 of James, verse 16, the second part of the verse. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says in 2 Peter 3:12 that the ears of the Lord are always open to the prayers of the righteous. So whether we pray the right thing or the wrong thing or ask for the right thing or the wrong thing, God still hears our prayers. He always hears our prayers. His ears are always open to the prayers of the righteous. What a great thing. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. In verse 14 it says, Nevertheless, sin reigned, death reigned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So, you know, the grace of God and the gift of grace came by way of Jesus Christ and abounded to many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification or righteousness. You know, Adam sinned, man sins continuously, and there were many offenses, but Jesus Christ came and he came unto justification, unto righteousness. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And we can reign in life because righteousness came to us, the gift of righteousness. And we shall reign by one, Jesus Christ. Pretty great. And let's go to Titus chapter 2. Well, you know what? I wanted to read the rest of chapter 5. So go to Titus, and I'll just read the rest of this. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now here the word justification is the word righteousness, or it's the same form, or it's the same word, different form, but it means, you know, we have been justified for life. We're worthy of receiving eternal life because we are righteous. If we didn't have righteousness, we wouldn't be worthy of eternal life. We wouldn't be worthy of Holy Spirit. We wouldn't be worthy of lots of things if God had not made us righteous. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We're made righteous. We didn't learn it. We didn't work for it. We didn't acquire it. We were made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It reigns. It has dominion. Titus chapter 2. I'll get there. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, well, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, wholeness, hath appeared to all men. Basically, the grace of God and what Jesus Christ brought is available to all. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Pretty great, huh? You know, Jesus Christ made us righteous. And so we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the return of Jesus Christ. It's a pretty great way to live. He redeemed us from all iniquity and purified unto himself a peculiar people. Peculiar people means that we're a treasure unto him. That's really what it means. It comes from the word that is translated treasure. We are a treasure unto him, and we are to be zealous of good works, which means to do the works of God, do what God would have us to do. That's the only good works we can do. You know, and they can vary from day to day and week to week and moment to moment. And, you know, good works are what God tells us to do. It's not what the world necessarily thinks is good works, but what God tells us. So, and many times it's very specific. But we are righteous, and we can do those good works because we are righteous. If we weren't righteous, we couldn't do them. If we weren't righteous, we couldn't have had Holy Spirit. We couldn't go before God face to face. Couldn't do any of the things that we do without righteousness, because he made us righteous. It's a pretty great thing. Pretty amazing. So, amen and amen.